So, how did you get involved in Who Loves You, Baby?
I was performing my one-man show called The Unbearable Lightness of Being Carolyn Negron at the Edinburgh Theatre Festival. And this little dude comes up to me and says, I love what you did with your show. I'm doing a show on Telly Savalas. Will you direct it? And I thought to myself, why would you do that? Who would ever want to do that? And then he said that Telly Savalas, for his generation, he's 30, he was 28 at the time. He said that for a group of his people, that Telly represented what it was like to be truly masculine, and that there were not enough masculine role models in the culture. And that really made me very interested because it's something that I agree, but no one ever really said it. It's like, why are these guys today like wearing flip-flops when they're on the sloppy side of 50 on the plane? I mean, there should be a law. You can't molest a child and you can't wear jeans if you're over 40. Let the hate begin. When is there a time that you put on your pants and a belt and you man up? It doesn't matter if you're gay or you're straight either. It just is like, be a guy, be a man, be the guy in control and says no, yes. So Telly was the guy that, as in the play, it says he's the guy that walked, the TV detective who walked up the steps to give Mama the bad news. And then I thought, okay, I'm in. So we were developing it for a really long time in Los Angeles, just quietly. And then it became a audience favorite at the LA Fringe Festival, then became a big favorite here in New York. And then we got extended, and we've been extended now for almost 7 months.
So how did you feel after you read the script for the first time?
I was really in shock because sometimes in art, things are revealed to you in a very, very, it's like you're in the dark and the audience is in the dark. And I'm always consider myself an audience member. I was very touched by it because I thought, it showed what it was like to be a man. In this case, I related to my father because my father and Telly were all in that gang of what it was like to be. It touched me in the way that how our fathers tried so hard. Being in the war, being in the depression, being raised in the backwater of the Victorian era, and then having to see it all kind of crumble, and crumbling beginning with, the hippies. I'm probably older than you, but it's like, and then we saw it crumble with Watergate, and then we saw it with no voting turnout, and then Reagan. I mean, we made Reagan happen by not voting after we lost our faith in the government with Watergate, so it's like all it goes back, and that's why right now it's everybody important to man up and to vote, and whenever bad things are happening, we still man up and we do the best thing for the community. Telly was a Spartan Greek, and so it's turned me. I mean, I learned all these things I never learned before about Greeks. So what turned me onto was I learned a lot about stuff I didn't know.
Okay. In order to pull this production off, I mean, you need somebody incredibly strong to play Telly. How is Tom DeMena? How is he that person? What does he do that's so special?
This guy has a complete and total 100% commitment to stage persona of that guy. He's my favorite performer I've ever worked with because he reminds me of me. In that I like when there's no one in the audience. When there's the less people, he's almost better.
Wow.
He's that committed to the character and the experiment and the rehearsal and the ongoing theatricum of it. So when the other night we were around Christmas, I think we only had like 12 people, and he was amazing. So there's a complete and total commitment artistically and spiritually and metaphysically for him to embody that character. And he also can sing. He can sing better than Telly. And he's a very, gifted guy because he can go on pitch. He's always on pitch.
Wow. I was just...
So he can go into the song perfectly.
I was just going to ask about that. Like, how does the music and the piano accompaniment, how does that play a role in the production?
Well, Kelly was an actor, and like Joe Pesci and like so many actors, they want to be singers. And Kelly, he said, look, you know, hey, now we know that Kelly had gambling problems. And he would do anything to make a buck. So he decided, hey, I can make some money doing records. I'm on TV every night. So he made these records, and Frank Sinatra, upon hearing his first album, wrote Telly a letter and said, hey, Telly, I'm not frightened. I'm not scared. But so he sang these songs, but once again, Telly was so powerful and such a macho man. You know, he sang that song, if a picture paints a thousand, you know, oh, why can't I paint you? I mean, it's like Rex Harrison, but it's, and the, you know, the, but he liked jazz, he liked music, so the arrangements are really good to support him, and they're very disco-y. We have a man called Alex Leonard, who is a very popular jazz musician here in New York, and he just, they're like, you know, bread and butter together. So there really is, like I say in the show, this is as much about the music as it is about the lessons. It dovetails perfectly.
Okay, you've been a successful character actor in Hollywood for, you know, 30 years. It seems like you've gotten into theater more the past couple of years. Why? Is that something that you've always wanted to do?
Not really. I mean, I've always done theater. It's just because I wasn't well known that nobody knew I did it. And because of the archive of Google and IMDb, it only goes back to 2000. But I mean, I've always done plays, and I've always written plays, and I've always been on stage. I never stopped doing it because I like it. I mean, I don't do it for any other reason except that I really like the excitement and the rawness of being in front of people and that rush you get backstage. I started out doing improvisational comedy on Venice Beach when I was 18 with Robin Williams, and learned my craft literally on the street as a street performer. And somebody found me and cast me on a TV show. It was one of those stories. And then I did the Comedy Store Players, which is improv with Robin and Jim Belushi, John Belushi. Isn't that weird? Jim Belushi, John Belushi, and Catherine O'Hara, and Martin Short, and all these really cool people that I was able to like apprentice. And then wrote plays, you know, and always did stand up. So I've never really left the stage. There's no kind of trace of it there. But yeah, no, I'm into it, and it works really good to be in the movies when you're on stage, because then you can keep the crew happy. And if they're not happy, they get very mean. So I can make the camera crew laugh. I can get all the digs on everybody. I gossip with the craft service people, and then I own them. And they like it because it's fun, you know? It's like the crew is like the waitress and the bartender, you know? You're like, don't push the blender when I'm on. This is my first directing when I was 17. Could you not do the blender now? And then still, in that little room at the Huron place in Soho, I'm constantly with Byron, the bartender, I go, do not play the blender when he's playing the song. But yeah, no, I and then I'm doing a show that's coming out next, The Unbearable Lightness of Dean Taylor, which is this lovely piece that I wrote. You know, I love the theater.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything in theater that you'd like to do that you haven't done yet?
Yeah, I'd like to play the lawyer in Chicago.
Billy Sunday.
Is it Billy Sunday? The guy who the Richard Gere part in the movie? I mean, that's such a great part.
Yeah.
Anything that Victor, what's his name? I did a movie with him, Victor, turns down. God, I did a movie with Victor. He's a great Victor. Victor Garber.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a genius. I mean, there's so many great things. I mean, I'm really loving living in New York because I get to, like, sneak in and see all these things that are just completely stunning. I saw Diane Weiss in the Cherry Orchard. It changed my life.
How so?
Well, because I was walking in there with a bunch of all these pompous, you know, real intellectual people from Yale and Princeton, all my stuck-up friends, and I said, you know, I've never seen a Chekhov play. And they were like, you've never seen a Chekhov thing? I said, no, I've never seen a Chekhov thing. And they were like, ugh, Hollywood, trash. So I was the only one at the end of the Chekhov play crying inconsolable with my hand, my wrist behind my forehead. Like, no, no. This can't be. I have never been more moved by anything by seeing the Chekhov play. And I just wrote a play that Mario Cantone is doing that I didn't even know. Who knew? I wrote The Cherry Orchard too. I didn't know I wrote it too. And oh, I was watching The Cherry Orchard going, this reminds me of my play. I wrote a play called Downward Facing Bitch, which is about yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm turning it over. It was about a woman, a rich woman in Tuscany. Now I'm making it a rich man in Tuscany, and I'm calling it Downward Facing Bastard.
Well, we're definitely interested, so. You've been in entertainment for, you know, over 30 years. What do you want the next 30 years of your career to be like in comparison to the first 30?
First of all, I never want to do anything I've done before. Like, it's made myself really easy when they send me scripts or ask me to do stuff. If I say, oh, I did that, I don't want to do it anymore. So I just aspire and hope that I get parts that are things that I've never done before. I really, really, really like directing, because I think that it's so important for the audience to be handled and respected properly. That they, you know, that they hear it clearly, that there's not too much causerie, and that the story can be told. And I really like storytelling. I hope that I want to direct more and write these plays. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing a couple of movies next year, this year, that are very things that I've never done before, so I'm excited about that. You know, I heard Meryl Streep say something really nice the other day, and she said, I'm lucky that I've never had to be on a poster and face and have a gun facing at you. And think about it.
Yeah.
And I mean, how nice is that? When you see all these poor actors, whatever, I'm not judging them, but when they have a gun, they have to stand there with the gun pointing at you when you're pushing the baby down the path. By the way, I haven't got children.
You got me choking over here.
Well, yeah. But I just want to, you know, the future is, I plan to spend a lot of time there.
Yeah.
And the world is changing. You know, the next version of my show is called The Mayan Countdown, which is, you know, right now, I mean, I don't believe we're going into a black hole. I believe we're going into a white hole. And this is a really exciting time to be alive and to be an artist and to do what we're doing right now, to get, you know, information out there.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, it can't be jaded. It has to be kind of constructive.
No, absolutely. I agree. I interviewed Philip Seymour Hoffman a couple of years ago, and he was, you know, comparing the differences between acting and directing, and he said, you know, he felt that being an actor was a very lonely thing, and being a director was just so much more inviting and so much more sociable. What do you think of that?
Oh, I agree 100%, because when you're acting, you're kind of just literally staring in the mirror. And you're looking at the mirror going, oh, my one eye is too small. And I don't know this line, and I look fat, and this belt hurts, and these shoes are never going to work. And you're thinking about yourself, but when you're a director, I've always been very outgoing. With the director, I could run back, and I could go to the box office, and I could talk to the, and then I Zoom everybody. I'm always constantly involved with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, sometimes if I have nothing to do, I stand in front of the theater, in front of the poster, and I tell people to come in. And when your picture's there, you can't do that. You know, it doesn't look good for you. Like, oh, please come and see my show. I'm great.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's very, very, you know, very, very giving. And you get to, like, I'm just really hands-on, you know. And I know what it's like to be an actor. And I just know that my first direction is, you know, just do what you want to do. And I'll let you know if it's right. So once that they do what they want to do, I can say, don't ever do that again.
So,
you know, I mean, it is, I agree with him entirely. It's a very, very warm and loving thing to be able to do.
Okay, last question, getting back to the production. What would you say to anyone who's, you know, kind of on the fence about seeing it? How would you sell it to them?
I would sell it to them that they could actually bring their child and their father. Because it's a multi-generational thing. I've never seen this happen in a show where the kid who didn't know that Telly Savalas existed loved it as much as his grandfather, who was a fan of Telly's. And I can't explain why that happens. I think it's probably because Tom is so galvanizing and so wonderful, is it? Because he creates his own character. And it's very rare. And it's not maudlin. It isn't like, hey, look at me. It's like, look, Telly Savalas has passed into the spiritual realm. He's come back for 1 hour because he's been watching us and he wants to give some lessons to the young people of today. And it's very affectionate toward, you know, those men that went before us, if we're lucky enough to have our fathers with us. It gives it an insight into the fathers. The fathers go, hey, look at us, how great we were. And then the kids will go, yeah, you know what? Treat women a little nicer. And, you know, all those basic things that our parents taught us, you know, be nice to girls. Be nice to yourself. Show a little respect. And it's inclusive, and I'm going through the whole success of it. I realize that we are supplying something that's needed because people need instruction. How much can you get from a Facebook status?